Number 18, but we'll be in James chapter number 5. We've been doing this on Sunday nights, using both of these passages of Scripture, and I'm going to continue to do so, all right? And we'll take a look in James chapter number 5 first, and then I will be over in 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we'll try to glean some more off of Elijah's prayer. The Bible tells us in James chapter number 5 that we are, verse number 16, to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, I hope you've been doing that. And we've challenged you 3 weeks ago. This is our fourth message in our series on prayer. And you are challenged from the very beginning to find you a prayer partner. And I hope you've done that. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you. There have been so many testimonies on Facebook and sent to me in messengers and different things like that of people saying, Brother Robbie, I did not get started that first night, but I did maybe the second or the third Sunday night. And Brother Robbie, my life, it has been absolutely wonderful. If you are doing this, I can testify that it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I look forward. I have two prayer partners now, and I look forward every single day to them sending me a message and saying, Preacher, I'm praying for you, and I want you to know I love you. Just encouraging, and I appreciate that. And many of you have even joined in and done that. And I think Brother Gary has been sending me something about every day, and I do appreciate that. And I want to say thank you, but I think it's very important. I want you to get you a prayer partner. Hold yourself accountable. Hold each other accountable to prayer. And because I believe it's something that's lacking in our churches today and lacking big time. Somebody say amen. We have a prayer team. I'm going to go ahead and put a plug in right here. We have a prayer team that meets at 9:30 every Sunday morning, all right? I sent out a text message to all of our Sunday school teachers this morning, and only three of our teachers showed up for this prayer meeting. I want you to know, I want you to come to this thing. It's very important. We get in here and get our minds and our prayer life ready before we start ministering to people. Say, I pray at the house. Okay, let's stop it. This is an opportunity for us to get together and pray corporately that our church services are something. I'm telling you what, I believe that prayer can open up some doors. One of the things that we prayed for this morning was that God, I told the prayer group or a prayer team, I said, we may only get one opportunity at an individual this morning. I said, so let's get in here and let's pray. Now, there be no distractions, no obstacles, that God can minister to them, convict their spirit of their need of salvation. And this morning, a very first-time visitor walks the aisle and gets saved. That can go on every single Sunday. That can go on every Sunday night and every Wednesday night if we'll have a heart to pray. And let me encourage you, 9:30. Sunday school teachers, you're supposed to be here at 9:45 anyhow. It's a 15 minutes. Come in here, get some prayer in, get to your Sunday school class at 9:45 and see what God can do, all right? But let me encourage you to get involved in this thought of prayer as we teach and through this, all right? Now, we're to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he gives us an example. Elias, which is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let me say this, and I'll move on to 1 Kings chapter number 18, but there is absolutely no excuse for us to not have a powerful prayer life. as I mentioned, every time that we've preached, every Sunday night for the last 3 weeks, the only thing special about Elijah, the Bible tells us he was just like us. What was special about Elijah was his prayer life and his relationship, all right, with God. Let's move over to 1 Kings chapter number 18, and we will read the text here as we had the last three Sunday nights. We'll look at it beginning in verse number 36 or 40. I think I started in 40, all right? And Elijah, verse number 40, said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." I want you to notice, first off, before we get going too far on this, because we will return to this, but I do want you to notice that he was already making preparations for answered prayer. Is everybody all right? Did we not see that? And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." He has yet to pray and ask for rain. He was already making preparations for his prayer to be answered. As we move on, the Bible says, "And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink." Can I say this and not get you mad? Well, it probably will. But there's more people that are interested in eating and drinking than they are going up on the mountain with the man of God and praying. And boy, this ever shows the condition of Ahab and the condition of this world today, this is it. They are more interested in playing. They're more interested in eating. They're more interested in drinking and partying and all these things than they are in the spiritual aspect of life. For 3.5 years, the Bible tells us that it rained not here. And Ahab, the king of Israel at this time, does not even have the desire to see rain. He goes and eats and he drinks. Can I say this? Right now, this land is in a spiritual drought, if there ever was one. And most Christians would rather go and eat and drink than to get a hold of God in prayer and call down the rain. As we look at this tonight, the Bible says that Ahab went up to eat and drink, verse number 42. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. We need some more Elijahs. That'll go up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Can I say this? Elijah, just a few moments before this, stood with a straight backbone, with the power of God, called down fire from heaven, demanded and commanded that every one of the prophets of Baal be killed and be slain. And now we see him bowing down before an almighty God. Boy, he stood in power and he stood with boldness in front of man. But he came before God. Somebody help me right here. He came before God and he was hardly recognizable as a man. I don't know how you put your head between your knees. Somebody say amen. I can't even touch my toes. I need somebody to help me right there. But the Bible says that he put his face between his knees. One thing that Elijah knew how to do was get a hold of God. He may have stood boldly in front of man, and he stood boldly in front of the king of Israel, but he bowed down to an almighty God. As we move on tonight, the Bible says in verse number 43, "And he said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again 7 times. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. Why? Because I know exactly how you would react. If I told you to run up to the top of the mountain and tell me what was there, and you come back and said, 'There's nothing.' And I said, 'Go 7 more times. I already know what you'd do. I know it because I've seen it in my child's face every time. Go get me something. And run out there, I can't find it. Go back. And it's right there. I need somebody to help me. God help, we can't even get Christians here three days a week, much less get them to climb the mountain seven times and look out there for nothing. I walked y'all right into that one, didn't I? Amen. All right. It's amazing to me. Because I know, from this passage of Scripture, I know there's no way that his servant was Baptist. Hey, he might have been Jehovah Witness or something. But he was not a Baptist. Because he wouldn't have went after the first time. No, man, I ain't doing that. We had to do something different, preacher. Which, by the way, me and Dalton was out cutting grass Thursday. And they were Jehovah Witnesses beating on doors. I want to say this. And I'm saying this, they're outworking us. You say what you want to, but they're outworking us. And they're preaching a false, they're a cult, and they're outworking us. People are dying and going to hell while we're busy going to ball games. They're out knocking doors. Somebody say amen. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time. And for those of you that ain't very good with math, this is eight times he's going up the mountain. He went up the first time and he said, go seven more times. And then the Bible says on the seventh time, he come back and he said something, all right? That's eight trips up the mountain. Is everybody all right? Eight trips up the mountain. And I ain't going unless there's an elevator. I ain't going unless I got a golf cart. Is somebody help me? Yep, you know who you are. All right, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I like that verse too. That verse just does something for me. The fact that Elijah outran the horses and the chariots just does something for me. Somebody say amen. And I think he could probably outrun Usain Bolt or whatever his name is. All right. All right. Let's look at this tonight. We've talked about several. Let me get back and let's look at these. We've talked about, number one, the preamble of prayer. We talked about the preparation of prayer. Last week, we dealt with the posture of prayer. And this week, I want to talk to you about the passion of prayer. As we look here at Elijah and at his prayer, I want you to see something that I think is missing in our prayers today. As I was talking to our spiritual gift class, I was telling them that a lot of people are doing these Bible readings, and they have these little to read through your Bible in 1 year, and that's wonderful. I think you ought to read through your Bible. I'm not taking anything from that. But many times we get into life, and what we will do is we will satisfy the demands and not really get anything out of it. In other words, we'll go through our scripture reading as we've supposed to, but it does nothing for us, absolutely, other than put a check mark by today because I did my Bible reading. Same thing happens in prayer. A lot of times we go through the motions of prayer just so we can put a check mark out beside the day and say, I have prayed today. I need somebody to help me. Amen. There's a lot of you, and don't be admitting it right now, but most of your prayer life revolves around a plate of food in front of you. Right? Don't answer. All right, I was just kidding. All right, I'm not kidding. But I was kidding. Don't answer. All right, I don't want to know. All right, most Christians' lives and their prayer life revolves around a plate of food in front of them, and we go through the motions of prayer. Everybody ready? How many times has somebody sent you a prayer or a message and said, "Praying for you"? And you typed, "Praying for you too." Got quiet. That's when I know. God done brought out. He done brought out the sword. Stuck one of y'all tonight. Hey, how many times have you told somebody? Come on now, in the past tense, "I've prayed for you." but you haven't. Don't answer that. Don't ask that again. Our prayers generally are just to give us a check mark that we've done something today. The Bible talks about Elijah's prayer. It talks about it being fervent. It talks about it being passionate. And I wonder how many of us could impact this world that we lived in if we had passionate prayer. I'm not talking about, God be with Logan Johnson. Thank you. Amen. Logan, I prayed for you. Somebody help me now, because that's what we do. Don't lie about it. That's what we do. So let's look at this passionate prayer, the passion of prayer. Our prayers are mostly ineffective today because we don't listen. This was good. This was me, by the way. So if you put anything on it, you quote it with me, all right? Our prayers are ineffective today because mostly our prayers do not need answering. Amen. I want you to think about that. If you really needed a prayer answered, would you just, Lord, be with my job today? Lord, be with my wife today. Lord, be with my relationship today. Lord, be with my children today. Now, let's take that same scenario and say that your children are facing life and death. How passionate would your prayer be then? Huh? If your relationship was in imminent danger of being over, how passionate would your prayer be then? I need somebody to help me. I know what I'm saying is right. The problem with most of us, the reason we have ineffective prayers today, because we don't need our prayers answered. Because if we needed our prayers answered, we'd have some passionate prayer. Now, I like that. You ain't got to. I like it enough for both of us, all right? There isn't any passion in our petitions, and therefore there's little priority put on them. There's little passion in our petitions to God, and therefore there's little priority put on them. An effective prayer warrior is passionate in their prayer life. I want to take a look just for a moment at Elijah's. I want to say this. The faith, I want you to look at this with me, the faith of a passionate prayer. Elijah prayed, but he prayed in faith. We know this because before he ever prayed, he began to make preparations for the answer of his prayer. Can I say that most people do not have the faith to believe that God can answer their prayer? And that's why we pray for something, but we make no preparations for it whatsoever. Because we don't really have the faith that God is going to answer our prayer. I need somebody to help me tonight. Even I can put it like this. Most of us don't have enough faith in our own prayers. We have to have somebody else pray for us. Can I say this? You have the same access to God that I do. And you can go to God just like I can. You can go to God just like Elijah can. But you don't have the faith that God will answer your prayers. Now that's either a problem with you or a problem with the God that you're serving. But let me tell you this, if you serve the same God that I do, then you can rest assured, and I can testify of a truth right here. He is able to do whatever you need him to do. But your faith, the problem with most of us is our faith. And the reason we don't have passionate prayers, we don't have faith in our prayer. It's the faith of a passionate prayer. I notice it's a faith that's dependent on promises. You know what God told Elijah? He said, go talk to Ahab. I'm going to send the rain. So you know what Elijah did? You know why Elijah was there? He had faith in what God said he was going to do. And that is why he stood on that mountain and he challenged the prophets of Baal. And he knew that when they were slain, I'll get to this in a little bit, but he knew that once they were dead and the revival was back and people were back in tune with God, that God would send the rain. He had a promise from God. And he believed that he was dependent upon the promises. Faith that's dependent upon promises. How about this? The Bible says that God is able to supply all your needs. That's a promise. I need somebody to help me. God will supply your needs. He might not give you wants, but he will supply your needs. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You might not get a steak, but bless God, you ain't going to go without peanut butter and jelly. Some people, I'll just be honest with you, that sounds pretty good right now. It's dependent upon promises. He had a promise from God, and he went with it. Can I say this? I've claimed the same promises in my own marriage. I told y'all me and Michelle went through a difficult time. I won't get into that tonight, but I knew this. I held on to the promise that God didn't want me and that woman right there divorced. And I prayed fervently, and I prayed with faith that God was going to answer it. And bless God, we're going to celebrate 25 years of marriage this year because God said, I don't want you to be divorced. The faith of a passionate prayer. We see that a faith that is dependent upon promises. Not only that, but I see a faith that demands preparations. You got to prepare. He made preparations. He told Ahab, he said, hey man, go up, meet and drink. I'm hearing some rain. Hey, he was better than any forecaster of our day. Somebody say amen. Get on TV talking about a 90% chance of rain today and it don't rain. Get on there and tell us there's 10% rain and you can head out on the motorcycle and get drenched. I need somebody to help me right here. Ain't got good sense, God give Billy Goat. They got all these things. They got all these computers and all these things. But Elijah just had an ear for God and a faith to believe what God said. And he made preparations based off of that. We see a faith that demands preparation. We see a faith that's dependent on promises, a faith that demands preparation. How about this? A faith that's displayed through participation. Man, he got down. The Bible says he bowed down on the earth and put his face between his knees and he got others involved. He told his servant, run up there to the top of the mountain and tell me what you see. And he come back and he said, there is nothing. Now, most of us, come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. Most of us went that first trip. We didn't get the answer we wanted to. We didn't get the answer we wanted. We didn't hear it. We come back. There's nothing. Oh, we're done. Forget that prayer. God must not want that. God ain't going to answer that. He told him, he said, seven times, I want you to go back up that mountain. Seven times I want you to go back up that mountain. Can I say this? God wants to answer some prayers for some of us, but you're too lazy to get up and to help him. Like it ain't like he don't need your help. You participate in your own prayers being answered. Most of us too lazy want to sit on the couch and want God to do everything for us. Somebody help me now. We see a faith that's displayed through participation. And let me say this, it ain't always easy. I don't know about you, but this servant, I guarantee you, after the second trip up that mountain, the first trip up the mountain, he's probably looking at, man, it's going to be good. There's nothing. Elijah, there's nothing. I want you to go back up there seven times. I just seen you call down fire from heaven. I'm going to go back up. There's nothing. Come on now. Let me tell you what you'd have done on the third time. If you want to go up that mountain, you do it yourself. I quit. Church down the road won't make me climb up the mountain. Preacher down the road don't demand me to climb up the mountain. Somebody say amen. He give me a Corvette and a plane. $63 million. Everybody all right? Seven more times. Looked out. Seen as it were just a little hand, a cloud. It looked like a man's hand. He comes back down and he tells Elijah, he said, man, I seen a cloud. And it looks like it's little, but it looks like a man's hand. Elijah said, oh, that's it. Praise God. Go tell him. Tell him to get that chariot and get back to Jezreel before the rain stops him. Tell him I beat him there. I need somebody to help me. Most of you ain't moving until it starts raining. I need somebody. This is good. I don't care if you like it or not. Hey, most of us ain't doing anything until it starts raining. We were riding a motorcycle yesterday. We were coming back from down in Florida. We was coming back, and as we were coming, it was just pouring down rain. You could see it all the way. And I'm thinking, we're going to stop. I brought rain gear. Somebody help me. I brought rain gear for just this situation. They kept riding. Shell's tapping on my shoulder. They're going to stop. I don't know. I'm assuming that they are because it's just a wall of water up here. We keep going. All of a sudden, the rain came and all the brake lights on the motorcycles in front of it. Like, really? I need somebody to help me. I knew it was going to rain before I ever got to it. But nobody wanted to react until the rain hits them. You don't want to do nothing until the rain shows up. Elijah, at the first glimpse of a possibility, sends Ahab back to Jezreel. He girds up his loins and he takes off running and beats all the horses and chariots there. Because there was a little cloud out there in the sea. Ain't rained in 3.5 years and there's a little cloud. And he's calling for a monsoon. Faith. A faith that's dependent on promises. A faith that demands preparations. A faith that's displayed through participation. A faith that drives our persistence up and down that mountain. 7-8 times up and down that mountain. How about this? A faith that diagnoses a precursor. I like this. I wanted to get this in here. He had so much faith that just a little cloud said, you know what? God's answered my prayer. I say something. God doesn't always answer your prayer with flashing lights. This is something that Elijah had to learn later too, as he stood on the side of Mount Horeb, and the fire and the wind and the earthquake. The Bible says God wasn't in all that, but he was in a still, small voice. Listen to me tonight. I don't know what you're going through. But I'm going to say this, God is working on your behalf and don't despise the little things. God's going to answer your prayer. His timing may not be now, but it's a coming. And just a little cloud out there over the sea. Elijah threw into motion everything. Hey, we got to get out of here. We ain't even going to be able to get back to Jezreel. We see a faith, the faith of a passionate prayer. Let me ask you this question tonight. Do you have faith in your prayer life? Do you have faith in your prayer life? If the answer is no tonight, can I say this? You have the same access to God that I do or anybody else does. So if you don't have faith in your prayer, then I would suggest you get a little closer to the God that can answer your prayers. Amen? We see the faith of a passionate prayer. Number two, we see the foundation of a passionate prayer. The foundation of a passionate prayer. The foundation of a passionate prayer is in God's Word. I want to show you something if you'll let me do that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says this, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth." The whole reason that Elijah was there, because God told his people that if you get away from me, you better be careful. Because the Lord's wrath will shut up the heavens that it rain no more. In other words, the foundation of his prayer, we can see it all through Scripture, that the foundation of his prayer goes all the way back to Deuteronomy and the law. They were told that if you get away from me, I'll send, there won't be any more rain. So guess what happened? I'm not going to read the rest of them. There's several other, basically say the same thing throughout Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and Deuteronomy chapter number 28. But God said this, you go apostate and I'll shut up heaven and I'll stop sending the rain. Is everybody with me right here? And what did God do with Elijah? Hey, I want you to, he said, get thee up, go tell Ahab. Ain't gonna rain no more till you say it. 1 Kings chapter number 17, Elijah stands before Ahab and said, I want you to know, God sent me to let you know there won't be any more rain till I say it. Bye. I need somebody to help me. Hey, the foundation of passionate prayers is always based off the Word of God. He knew he had a prayer. His prayer went all the way back to Scripture. And he stood before those people, a man of God, with the law of God, the Scripture of God, and he proclaimed, thus saith the Lord. Now, where this all comes to end, we're talking about the end of this thing. Now God says, I want you to go back, and he says, I want you to go to Ahab and tell him there's going to be some rain. But we got to clear up one thing. Come on, y'all. We got to clear up one thing in this. Remember, as long as they're apostate, there would be no rain. So they had to have a revival to get back to God before the rain would come. So Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, and he tells the prophet of Baals to show up, and they have a contest who can call down fire from heaven. After it's all said and done, 400 prophets of Baal are slain and killed. God has revealed himself. He has shown the prophets of Baal to be just what they are, an imitation, a fake, if you will. And now all the people say, hey, we're going to follow God. We're going to follow Elijah. That man of God right there called down fire. His God sent the fire when theirs couldn't do anything. As they screamed and hollered and broke to pieces their altar and cut themselves and hollered, nothing happened. But when Elijah called out on the Lord, the fire fell. And it licked up every bit of the water. It took the sacrifice. It took the altar, every bit of it. We're going to serve that God. Is everybody all right? It's the reason they were in the predicament. Word of God said, if you get away from me, there'll be no rain. The reason that Elijah had such faith and stood and proclaimed with such boldness is because there had been a revival and the people had turned back to God. And God said, if you'll follow me, I will bless you. The foundation, listen. The foundation of our prayers is based off of biblical. The problem with most of us, we don't get our prayer answered because we've walked away from God somewhere during the process. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You want your prayers heard and you want your prayers answered, then chances are, you're going to have to get back where you're supposed to be with God. You can't get away. Everybody all right? Can't get away from God's Word. I know that most preachers and most church members and most Christians nowadays don't want to have anything to do with that Word of God. They have their own mindset and their own belief of what God is and how. But that Word's true. And the problem with most of us, we don't have faith in our prayers because we ain't living. Don't make me say all of it. Never mind, I will. Because we ain't living and we ain't in the right relationship with God. Ain't no passion in our prayers. We know they ain't going to be answered before we even start. Because we enjoy the pleasure of the sins we are in more than we desire the answer to the prayers that we send. The faith of a passionate prayer. The foundation of a passionate prayer. What's your prayer life like? How confident are you that God's hearing your voice? How confident are you that God's answering your prayers? Lastly, we see the faith of a passionate prayer, the foundation of a passionate prayer, foundation of God's word, a foundation of God's will. I didn't preach this part of it, but Elijah knew as he stood there and prayed that it was God's will that that rain came. And many times, our prayers and our petitions to God are for our will, not His. We're not interested in God getting the glory. We're interested in, we're interested in our needs. Now, let me take that back. We're interested in our wants. The fervency of a passionate prayer is the last one. The fervency of a passionate prayer. As we look here at the passage of Scripture, and as we look in James chapter number 5, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. There again, that whole Bible thing will mess you up. That righteous man means one that's right with God. Is everybody right? Next verse. Elijah, that's who we're talking about, a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, fervently, ardently, with everything that he had, and God answered his prayer. We see the faith of a passionate prayer. We see the foundation of passionate prayer, but the fervency of a passionate prayer. Most of us, our prayer life lacks, come on, let's be honest, passion. But I noticed here in Scripture that even though there were no results, Elijah kept praying. I need somebody to help me. The Bible says that he sent him up there the first time, and he come back and he said, "There is nothing." But he didn't stop. Is everybody with me? A fervent prayer war doesn't stop. Just because things didn't get answered on our time and when we wanted to, he did not stop. He didn't just give up and say, "Oh, that's it. God ain't going to answer this." He knew that God was going to answer. He knew that it was the glory of God, the word of God, that would be rain true. And he kept praying, even though there was no results. How many of you stopped praying because God ain't answered it like you wanted to? Huh? Listen, that's a dangerous place to be in. There's some people that used to pray and they beg God for a godly man or a godly woman. And they got tired of praying and seeing no results. So they took the first thing that said, "Will you go out with me?" And right now they're in the worst relationship of their life. And they're wishing they'd have never met the person, or they're already divorced with them and wishing that God would have stepped in and done. But you quit praying. Because you didn't get the results you wanted when you wanted them. How many people asked and prayed and begged God for a good job that would allow you to come to church and all these other things, but you got impatient because there was no results. And so you took a job, and now you come to church and you complain about how you're going to miss church because you got a job now that keeps you from church. And you complain about the people that you work with. You complain about having to go in each and every... I need somebody to help me. There was no results. So you stopped praying and took whatever... I need... And took whatever come on. God's work wasn't done. God had done a great work up on Mount Carmel, but he wasn't finished. And if Elijah quit then, and there was still no rain, you imagine what them people, we turned back to God and he didn't answer our prayers. We turned back to God and he didn't do what his word said. Elijah said, "No, we're going to stay right here until God answers the prayer." Had no results, but a fervent prayer he kept right on. I need somebody to help me. Hey, listen here. The fervency of a passionate prayer. Not only we see no results, but he had no refreshments. Preacher, I'm going to need some things if I'm going to be doing this. Elijah stayed there on top of that mountain while Ahab was down eating and drinking. And he stayed there in prayer. He sacrificed and he stayed right there with his face between his knees praying and begging God to send the rain. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians today getting no results. They say, you know what? I'm just going to go join Ahab. I'm just going to go join Ahab. Ain't no sense in me being the spiritual one when everybody else is having fun. Everybody all right? Don't get quiet right here. I ain't done yet. We moving that way. Why give up 15 minutes of my time to come to prayer? That's 15 minutes more coffee drinking time. I'm having fun, ain't you? Hey, let me tell you what. The people that got that text message and didn't come this morning, they're sitting there going, well, I had something to do. I'm sure you had to eat and drink. I'm sure the things of Ahab were, they needed to be done. Don't get over here. I got too many dirty looks from over there. I'm sure they was, hey, coffee to be drank, donuts to be ate, cereal. I need somebody to help me. I had to iron clothes. I know, we know. Trust me, I live with a woman that worships an iron. I can't walk out, y'all hear me, I can't even walk out to cut grass without getting my clothes ironed. I understand. No refreshments. He stayed there because he needed an answer. And there's too many people today that the first sign of something you can do better, got a better deal. Kind of like these modern day evangelists that set up meetings and when they get a better deal, don't show up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had that happen 4 times here at this church. 4 of these great evangelists. I wouldn't spit on them. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I would. I'm done. But we do the same thing. Got a church outing this weekend if I don't get a better deal. Church on Wednesday night if I don't get a better deal. Church on Sunday night if I don't get a better deal. The fervency of a passionate prayer. It prays when there's no results. It prays when it continues when there's no refreshments. Lastly, it continues when there's no reinforcements. Man, I love it. I have tried to train people in my family. When somebody's on this altar, let's pray together. Let's pray together. I want somebody, the lady comes over here, man, I don't want you to feel alone. I want you to know that there's somebody that loves you and cares enough about you to pray for you. But I want to say this, a fervent prayer, a passionate prayer, it keeps on whether anybody comes up there or not. Elijah, he was there by himself, no refreshments. He had no results. And the entire nation of Israel had a revival. Turn back to God. But Brother Sheldon, he was the only one that went up on Carmel. He was the only one that went up there. You would have thought that the king of Israel, Ahab, you would have thought that that soy sucker, after watching 400 prophets murdered, killed, slain right there, you would have thought he would have got right with God. You would have thought, hey, Elijah, let God know I'm sorry. No. He goes back and he's eating and drinking. You would have thought all the people that 3.5 years hadn't had any water, the people that were starving, the people that hadn't had their fields, their crops were gone, they wasn't making any money. You would have thought somebody would have said, hey, Elijah, I'll go up with you on time. After seeing what I just seen, after watching God send the fire because of your prayer, I will go. Matter of fact, man of God, let me carry your Bible. But yet, only Elijah went up on that mountain and pray. God help us to get passionate in our prayer life. It's going to demand some things from us. It's going to demand some of your time. But I'd like to point out that he gave up plenty of his. It's going to demand some of your recreation time. But I'd like to say this. Jesus didn't do much fishing and hunting while he was here. It's going to demand, is everybody all right? It's going to demand some things out of your life to change, but it's worth the sacrifice. And I don't think I have to go into what he sacrificed. God help us this week, a challenge. If you don't have a prayer partner, I want you to get one. But this week, let's be passionate in our prayer. Let's stop doing just enough to get by. How many of you, come on now, how many of you have a youngin' or had a youngin' that does just enough to get by? You tell them to do something, they do it. Stop pointing. But just enough to get by. Now, let me help you out with something. The Bible says, be not deceived. For God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, that shall he also. I wonder, indirectly or directly, how much of our children's laziness is a result of ours in spiritual matters. I'm guilty. All my youngins, all of them. That one, and that one over there. See, even his friends testify. Just enough to get by. How much of that's tied to my spiritual life with God? Let's say this week we go, come on now. We're compelled to go a mile. Let's go twain. How many will go a little bit farther with me this week in our prayer life and get passionate about our prayers? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dalton's getting on that piano. Let's find our way around the altar tonight for prayer. You have a need, bring it to God. Find you a prayer partner. Find you someone.